Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for Thursday, August 3rd, 2006, an interview with Martin Rowe of Test and Measurement Rule Magazine. I'm Doug Smith. So I have Martin Rowe, who's a senior technical editor for Test and Measurement Rule Magazine, on the line here. And I thought we'd talk a little bit today for our podcast on topics that he deals with on a regular basis. And are you there, Martin?
I am right here, Doug.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you do at Test and Measurement World, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, what I do is I write and edit technical articles that cover electronics tests, and they cover a number of areas. They cover things like benchtop instrumentation, which is oscilloscopes and spectrum analyzers and DMMs and the like. I also cover wireline communications tests, so I get into a little bit of fiber optics and protocols and things like that. I also cover a topic which I know is near and dear to your heart, is EMC. And I also cover fiber optics as well as the communications that travels on the fiber optics. We kind of consider them two different topics. I also do a number of other things. That's for the magazine, what I told you about. There are some other things that I do, which are product write-ups on new products, some of which go in print, some of which go in the web. Everything that goes in print does go on the web as well, but there are a number of things that go on the web only. I do interviews of all sorts of things. It can be anything from somebody how did they get this new scope to do what it does, to I've got someone coming up that I want to do on someone who's actually retired. And I want to look at some of the things that he has seen over the course of, 35 or 40 years in the business. I also now have a blog, which is fairly new. It's only been out for a few weeks. And I guess the most notable thing, in spite of all of that, the most notable thing I've come up with so far was a song called The Measurement Blues, which is available on our website for downloading.
Martin, tell us a little bit about your personal history and your career so far.
I've been with Test and Measurement World since 1992. In those days, it was an entirely print publication. And prior to that, I worked for numerous, several companies doing applications engineering, some design engineering, mostly in the measurement business, the measurement and control business, and in the semiconductor process equipment business.
What year did you get into engineering or publishing?
Well, I got into engineering in 1980 upon graduating with my bachelor's degree, and I moved into publishing in 1992.
Martin, from your perspective, you have a pretty good overall view of the engineering world. Give us a little bit of a feeling about where you think engineering is heading.
Well, there's a huge interest in engineering worldwide. There's been some concern in the United States that there aren't enough people going into engineering, and there are a number of reasons for that. One is question of whether jobs are going to be outsourced. That nowadays, where you can, especially people who are doing programming, it's so easy to have someone overseas do your programming and then send you what they've done, in your morning, their night. And so there's a lot of concern about outsourcing. Some hardware engineers have expressed that concern too. There's also the belief that you can make a comparable living by doing something that is less arduous in college, that you don't need to go through the pain of getting an engineering degree. You can go and get a business degree or something else and do just as well. So there's a sort of concern about that. And then, of course, there's the factor of that. I think people don't understand what engineers do. That really what engineers do is they solve problems. And the stigma out there is the sort of the techie, the geek factor, you might say. And part of the task that the engineering profession has to take on is that they need to tell the rest of the world that engineers don't just sit in the lab all day. They go out and solve real problems that can really improve the lives of people.
Martin, from my own experience being in engineering, is I have to say that not only do I do engineering for, well, it used to be employers, now my clients, but it's actually had a great effect on my life. I essentially live it 24 hours a day when I'm not actually sleeping, and sometimes even then I dream engineering dreams. But things like things that are technical, you know, electrical wiring in the house, cars, gadgets. I mean, there isn't anything I can't fix, and life goes very smoothly. Cars never break down. Everything just works smoothly. I set up my home network. Didn't have to read anything or take any courses. Just was sort of obvious what to do. I've got 5 different types of computers and operating systems and things here, and they're all just playing together very nicely. And that's one thing engineering can do for you. I suppose you can make money with a business degree, but it won't make your personal life. Well, I guess you make enough money. You can hire everyone to do those things for you. But any thoughts on that?
Well, I can point to a number of things that having the engineering background has helped me be able to fix that I wouldn't have been able to fix otherwise. One was a dishwasher. I was able to troubleshoot a bad solenoid with just a handheld DMM. Another was when my child was little, we had one of those, you know, little baby monitors that, you know, you keep so you can hear the cries and all that in the room, and the remote unit started failing, and I opened it up, and it turned out it was just the power connector needed a little solder on it. It was just getting loose, and then about a year later, I had to do it again. So that was another one. Another one that came up recently was I have an alarm system in my house, and it was pretty much inoperable, and I called the technician, and rather than have to have someone come out and fix it, they said, oh, just have to reseat the circuit board. So I opened up the case, and just reseated the circuit board and plugged it back in, and everything worked fine. Those kind of things are kind of fun to be able to do, having an engineering background, that without it or without a technical background, you don't have to be an engineer to do some of those things, that really do save you a lot of money and a lot of time in life.
And an example of one of the things I've recently done, I'm restoring to some extent a 28-year-old Mustang I have to become my main business car. And besides just replacing things that need to be replaced, I'm actually changing the design of the car. I was analyzing the way the vacuum hoses were running, and I decided to change the vacuum logic a little bit, slightly differently. Of course, you can't do that in modern cars. It's all computer stuff. But and so as an effect was, I was able to get better gas mileage and lower the octane requirement of the engine at the same time. And so that's the great thing about being an engineer. You can do things like that. So, Martin, what are the trends, getting back to the technical side here, what are the trends in technology and measurements, and where are things headed?
Well, measurements have had to get certainly a lot faster, a lot more accurate than they were 14 years ago when I started in this job. In a way, some things haven't changed. The methods, I think, that people use to automate electronic measurements, while the operating systems of computers have changed, and the tools have gotten better, but as a general rule, people still fight the same battles. And the same battles they fight are interoperability of equipment, people, engineers having experience with one programming language versus another. So the even though things have gotten better, you're still sort of fighting the same battle of you still need to do it faster, you still need to do it more accurately, and you still need to do it for less money.
I noticed that test equipment is getting much more expensive these days. I think the high end scopes now, the 40 gigasample jobs, what are they selling for? Do you know?
They are the very high end scopes, of which the fastest one on the market today is 18 gigahertz. I suppose that there are faster ones in process, but I know nothing about it.
Single
shot.
So
I'm just guessing that because scopes tend to leapfrog each other in every 6 months to a year. The high-end scopes are now going for over $100,000.
Wow. I can remember when that would buy a nice house.
Well, in spite of that, although the high-end scopes, you know, the 15, 18, 13 gigahertz scopes that are the high ends of the respective manufacturers, although those are going for, you know, prices of $100,000, what you can buy now for $5,000 or $10,000 compared to what you could get 5 or 10 years ago is more on par with the power of PCs. You know, if you think 10 years ago, if you were using a Windows 3.1 computer, and now you're using an XP computer or a Linux machine, at the lower and middle range, the prices haven't gone up, but yet the speed and the features have continued to increase. It's very much parallels the PC business. Part of the reason for that is that many of these scopes now have PC motherboards in them, so that the companies can take advantage of, you know, high volume technology and use it in low volume test equipment.
I remember when HP, now Agilent, did that when they came out with their first Infinium line of scopes. That at any given performance point along the curve, the cost of the scope became quite a few thousand dollars cheaper when they did that, because it used generic PC hardware inside. It only needed the proprietary hardware where you really needed in the sampling and data acquisition units. And so I think back then it was like 2 gigasamples per second was sort of the high end. And it lowered the cost of the scope by several thousand dollars.
It did. You know, today you can buy a scope like that, you know, a 1 gigasample, 2 gigasample scope. You can buy that for under $10,000 now.
And that used to be up
probably closer to $5,000.
Well, Martin, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it, and seeing some of your thoughts and views. You definitely have a unique view on the engineering world from the rest of us who are sort of lab rats.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.